This is the I Can Do It Hour with your host, Diane Ray.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for tuning in to today's show. Well, we've all heard the saying, my life flashing before my eyes, and usually that means we're coming to the end of our life and we're seeing everything being played out before us. Well, my guest today is going to tell us how we can have that experience of seeing our life before our eyes, but we don't have to go to the other side to do it. We're going to be able to do our life review today. And my guest is Karen Noe. She's a psychic medium and author, and her latest book is called Through the Eyes of Another. And the book was originally self-published through Balboa Press, and it's since been picked up by Hay House. We got so many great inquiries and calls about this. And Karen is the founder of the Angel Quest Center in Ramsey, New Jersey, where she teaches classes, gives readings, and practices alternative healing. So Karen, welcome back to the show.
Hi there, Diane. How are you?
I'm really good. It's good to chat with you. And some of the listeners might remember Karen had been a guest before. And now since then, I understand the book has been kind of tweaked a little bit because I think you added some new material, didn't you?
I've added new stories.
Yeah.
Very good stories. I was excited to add all of them. So yeah, it's a new version of the book.
That's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So are you excited?
I'm very excited. Yeah.
Well, we're excited to have you here and to talk about it. So tell me a little bit about your work as a psychic medium that was kind of the catalyst for this book, because in your practice, you would communicate with people, you know, that have passed over for your clients, and you'd find some of the information they were giving you was, you know, a little bit of regret over how they handled things in life. So I just wanted you to talk a little bit about that and how the book came together.
Yes. Well, as you said, I'm a psychic medium and I'm practicing in New Jersey. And a consistent message that was coming through with the people who've crossed over, although they're very much at peace, after they cross, they're one with God. They're able to see through God's eyes, though. So they're able to see how they have affected people through each person's eyes. In other words, they see what they did or didn't do.
You know?
And they see the bigger picture. And so what happens is after so many times of somebody's coming through saying they should have or could have done things differently when they were here, they should have told their loved ones how much they love them, they should have spent more time with them, on and on and on and on. And the same thing was happening with the living loved ones. They were saying the same thing. They should have spent more time with them, they wish they would have forgiven them, you know, things like this. So when this is happening so many times, I said, why do we have to wait to die, to see the bigger picture, to see through the eyes of the other person, try to see where they're coming from? Why can't we experience this knowledge, seeing through the other person's eyes right here and right now? So what I did was I conducted an experiment with my clients, and we met over a time frame, and what we did was we tried to see through the other person's eyes in various types of letters. Gratitude letters, letters of forgiveness, if you want to forgive someone else, if you wanted them to forgive you, letters to your deceased loved ones, letters to yourself, goes on and on. So what happened was I participated in this experiment as well. I was going through a divorce at the time. And so often when we are going through something, we just see our own self, poor me, and all of that. We're not really, you know, seeing how we're affecting the other person. We don't do it on purpose, certainly, you know, but so I said, okay, I wanted to make amends with my family, with my children and all of that. And of course, throughout all these years, they came first always. But when something like this, regardless of what you're doing, you're still hurting them when there's a divorce. So I wrote letters of gratitude to my children, to my ex-husband and my family members. And those in the experiment did the same thing. And it was life-changing, to say the least.
And so you give exercises in the book for ways that people can put this into action so that they can experience the same level of healing that you went through.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're calling this your life review.
I'm calling it a life review because that's the only way. How are you going to see the bigger picture, the bigger perspective? Is you literally have to sit there and try to focus on not only on how they're affecting you, but how you are affecting them, and sit down and put it into writing. How am I affecting them when this happened? How did this, you know, this type of thing happen? So that's why I broke it down into different groups, you know, gratitude letter of forgiveness. And remember, all of these letters are pure love. none of them are judgmental, saying, look what you did to me. This is not what I'm saying. When I'm talking about a letter of forgiveness, if you want someone to forgive you or you want to forgive them, trying to see how you have affected them. Because this is what's going to happen to us after we cross over, you know? And the best part of this is I have so many stories of, and I included them in the book, but how my own life was changed and their life was changed as well. One, a woman named Kathy, for example, she had been going through therapy for 3 years. And she wrote the letters to her family, and the therapist told her that the letters did in 1 month what 3 years of therapy couldn't even come close to.
Wow. That seems like it could be really healing for a lot of people to try this. I mean, what if you have really difficult emotions around some of these people and there is a lot of unresolved anger and
that is
things
very,
like that?
That's the one you really need to work on. And I would say, you know, this is important too. I'm glad you said that. Sometimes you don't want to mail it. You just want to go write the letter for yourself.
Right.
Because we're just as important as everyone else. And try to see where the heck, you know, how are we affecting them? And you might not even find, you know, how you're affecting them in a negative way, but try to understand where they're coming from. Another person in the book, she was talking about how she just couldn't forgive her mother. Her mother was abusive and, you know, really hurt her, hit her, did emotionally, you know, problems with her. And she just couldn't see how she affected her mother in a negative way. But she was able to finally, after all these years of therapy as well, see how her mother was the oldest of many children and how she didn't know how to love. You know, then she started seeing her mother as a mother and as a person.
Right. We don't like to do that sometimes.
Exactly.
Parents aren't people. That's impossible.
Right, right. You just see them as your parents.
Right.
And then when you see it through that point, you say, okay, you know, I don't agree with what they did. You could forgive. Don't forgive what they did, if you want to say it that way, but forgive the person because they don't know any better. They certainly, I don't think anyone does things to hurt us intentionally, you know?
Right. No, I think that generally that's true. You know, most people are basically, yeah, I think people are good.
Absolutely.
I like to believe that.
No,
you know?
It's true. We have God with, every one of us has God within us. And the reason why sometimes we feel funky and we don't feel good is because we're not feeling the God within us. We're not being a very loving
right.
person.
Or seeing that in the other right. person as well. And that can be a challenge
yes.
to do
yes.
that. Well, I can see where that would be a really healing experience to do that with your loved ones
yes.
and the people that are living, that you can, you know, solve the problem or smooth things over or have resolution while they're still here rather than having that regret after they've passed.
Oh,
so I'm interested in hearing your take on trying to work the forgiveness with people that have already passed. Because,
okay.
I mean, I remember when my father passed away, and this was in 2003, and I did write a letter to him as kind of an exercise or just my feelings of how I felt, you know, because he was kind of a difficult guy where it was difficult for him to express emotions. I mean, I knew he felt things deeply, but he had a hard time expressing things. So, yeah, for me, it was very healing to communicate. But I'm wondering, you know, how do they know what you're writing?
Oh, that's such a good question. I have a funny story with that. I know it's not a funny subject, but it is a funny story that comes with it. I had a friend. Her name was Marion, and I wrote a letter to her, even though she had passed, and, you know, talking about what we're talking about. And before I even begin the story, let me tell you, they do see if your intention is directed to them, if you're thinking of them or talking to them, writing them a letter, they are hearing or feeling what you are writing. It's not that they're going to feel or hear everything in your head. They can't read your mind. But if it's directed towards them, it's like a radar, and they pick up on it.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's like an awareness in a way. Yeah. They're aware of what you're doing.
So your dad, you know, absolutely read or felt what you were writing. And I'm sure was it a letter of forgiveness or trying to understand?
Yeah, I think it was just, you know, I hope that you understood because he had Alzheimer's, you know, dementia. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what they're experiencing,
exactly.
You know, what they're feeling. I mean, I know he must have been, he was feeling things that were going on. So, right. You know, I just wanted to let him know, you know, how I felt and I loved him. And
oh, that was good. So
yeah.
Did you feel good after that? I'm sure.
I did. Yeah, it was very, it was kind of a release to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
And I don't know what possessed me to even think about doing that. It wasn't like a letter. It was just kind of writing in a journal.
Well, you let your feelings go. It's good for, you know, it's like a therapy.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
Exactly.
Saved me some money in a therapist.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I think actually the act of writing, the physical act of putting
takes
it down
time.
Is powerful.
Yeah. You're able to sit there and think about, you know, exactly what the words you want to use, exactly what happened, that type of thing. So, I forgot to talk about the story. So
yes, now go ahead with the story.
My friend Marion, she was very outgoing and, let's say, a weird sense of humor, okay? So when they come through with the same personality as they did when they were here. So I wrote a letter to her, and it was mostly a letter of appreciation, gratitude. But I wrote at the end of the letter, please, now this is what I'm going to tell the listeners to do, if it's for a deceased loved one, please give me a sign, a without a doubt sign, to let me know you have heard what I said, what I've written.
Okay.
So ask for a without a doubt sign, or just so that you know that they've heard you. So I wrote the letter and I forgot about it. 2 days after her funeral, I'm walking down the stairs to put letters in my mailbox for the mailman, and as I'm walking down the stairs, a bird comes flying towards me and starts, when I say screaming, wah, like that, squawking, I don't
was
know.
Was it a crow?
It wasn't a crow.
Because they're loud.
No, it wasn't a crow. I'm not sure what kind of bird it was, but it was very loud and looking at me directly in my eyes. So birds don't normally do this. So I knew this was Marion, without a doubt. See, loved ones are able to come through, you know, as an animal, a bird, a ladybug, a butterfly. They use their energy to come inside of the animal to let us know they're there. So this was her way. So she's screaming at me in the street. I'm starting to cry. I'm like, oh, my God, Marion, I love you so much.
So you knew immediately that this particular bird was your
Marion.
Friend.
Marion. Yes, yes. And my neighbors must have thought I was crazy for sure because I'm talking to this bird. But, and she just was squawking and just, she followed me to the mailbox. I had my cell phone in my pocket and my son was home, who's so used to me with this kind of thing. I said, quick, come outside. Marion is here. And he's like, huh? I just said, come outside. So he comes outside and he experienced the whole thing. And to make a long story short, we knew that that was Marion. She was screaming. The next day she came to my other friend, Carol. She came in through she opened the sliding glass door and a bird came flying in and dirtied the walls and everything. This is Marion's type of humor. She was loud. She was sarcastic, that type of thing. And then she just flew out the door. And Carol said, couldn't she have done it a different way? But I said, no, because that's Marion. So yes, you could ask your loved ones if they've crossed and you wrote them a letter to please give you a sign, a without a doubt sign, to let you know that they have read it. I know it's too late for you now to do that, but I could you better believe he has, you know, he felt what you wrote.
Right.
Yes.
No, that's good to know.
Yeah.
And I think that, well, yeah, you did include that story in the book, which
yes.
is great, along
yes.
with some other really interesting ones uh-huh. in the appendix.
Yes.
And there was also an interesting chapter on what we're discussing now, getting feedback. And, I mean, do you believe everybody has the ability to receive these messages and to increase the frequency of getting these messages?
Oh,
like, we can all do this.
Oh, yeah, we all could do this. Our loved ones want us to know they're around us, you know, after they cross over, just as we want to know they're okay. They want us to know they're okay, too.
Right.
So one of the biggest ways, I would say, is to look for signs from them. You know, if you can't do it, you know, if you're not psychic, if you think you're not, even though we all are, you know, there are ways to increase your psychic abilities. But the easiest way is to look for signs. And some of the signs would be, you know, they place thoughts in our heads. That's one of the signs when they're trying to communicate with us. Most people expect to hear an apparition, you know, to see an apparition or hear an audible voice.
Right. And that's pretty rare, isn't it?
Very rare. It's hard for them to do, you know, because they are in spirit now. They're not in a body. So when a thought pops in your head for no reason of your loved one, you may think that you're thinking of your loved one, whereas it may be your loved one speaking to you. I hope you could follow that.
In okay.
other words, yeah, it just pops in your head. You can't find an originating thought with that, and they just let you know something they would say or do. That's one way. Most people don't know that.
No, that's interesting.
Yep. They love to come to us in dreams, you know, and there's different types of dreams. When they come to us in a dream, there's two types of dreams. There's a subconscious, which would be frightening, scary. That would be you. That would not be your loved one. But a true visitation, you'd wake up and you know without a doubt that it was your loved one.
That's so interesting, because I have had different dreams like that. And the one dream I did have of my mother, I knew, I heard her voice. Like it was unlike any normal dream.
You know,
it's a little
right?
bit, yeah, you know. And I knew that it was her. I heard her voice very clearly in the dream when we were talking.
Did you wake up and you just felt wonderful?
I did. Yeah, I started to cry a little bit. And I wish she would have asked me something really profound. And we were, it was like we were sitting in a bar and we were eating cheese, like a cheese plate. Well, and she said she liked this. She goes, I like this kind of cheese, love. Just the way she said it in her voice. It was funny. And I thought, why would she say that about cheese? It's ridiculous.
Is that something that you love? Or?
Well, sure.
Okay.
I love cheese.
You know, what
wine
she's
trying
to do is just tell you she's just around you with normal, everyday things that happen.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But it was, I know what you mean by the distinction of the dream, where
God.
It's hard to kind of articulate, but you know that when you hear that voice or...
You know, without a doubt.
It's much more profound than just your average dream.
Absolutely. I had a dream of my own mom. My mom passed a year and a half ago. And now she was a quiet woman. What happens is the same, as I said before, the same personality as what you were when you were here, you continue to maintain that. So Marion was loud, but my mom was a quiet woman, and I think she doesn't want to bother me and that type of thing. So I said, Mom, you know, what I said before, ask them for a without a doubt sign. I said, please, I need to hear your voice one more time, please. And one day I was home from work, and I was taking a nap, and I had a quote-unquote dream. It wasn't a dream. It was absolutely my mom. And her voice... We were in a crowded place, and her voice comes over the loudspeaker, and she says, I have an important announcement. I have an important announcement. I am okay, and I love you. And with that, the phone
rang. That's so great.
I know. And the phone rang, woke me up, which is wonderful, because if you don't wake up after such a dream, you won't remember the dream. You know, and I felt as if I won $1 million. It wouldn't have been better than that. So,
right. That's so great to be able to get those kind of messages.
And we all could do it if we ask. Now, they're probably trying to talk to us, but we're not paying attention. You know, that's the whole thing, is just to look for the signs. You know, they give off fragrances. They place objects in our path, such as feathers. Did you ever get anything like that? Or
feathers? I don't know. Maybe I have to pay more attention,
yeah.
Like you say in the book, you know, pay more attention
pay
to
more
the
attention.
Signs. I remember one time smelling my grandmother's perfume, and she wore this, it was called Youth Dew by Estee Lauder.
Oh,
I don't know if anyone has ever smelled this, but it's very distinctive. And I got a whiff of that one time, like, oh, I don't know anybody else who would, you know, wear that.
Yeah. And then you knew without a doubt, because that was her only way of letting you know she was around you.
Yeah, that's interesting how we're able to pick up on those things. But you do offer different ways to open up that connection and to strengthen it, because like you said, we do all have that. And I think we do. I think some people like yourself are probably just so, you know, highly attuned and developed. Kind of like a musical talent, how some people have that talent,
right.
You know, and I could play piano for years and not be as good as, Stravinsky or something like that.
Right.
So someone with your gift is just a more highly attuned way. But there are ways that we can work on it.
Everyone can work on it. And the most important thing I would tell people to do is to meditate.
Yes.
Because if they come to us as thoughts, and that's the main way that they are coming to us, if our thoughts are going a mile a minute, and we're not letting them in, do you know what I mean? So in order to connect with them and to understand how messages come, you need to quiet your thoughts and connect to all there is, so that throughout the rest of the day, you know, the week, whatever, I would recommend meditating every day, but then you're able to receive their messages. So what I do is before appointments, I meditate, quiet my thoughts, so that during the appointment, I'm able to receive messages. So everybody could, a lot of people have problems with meditating, quieting their thoughts, but there are different ways of meditating too.
Sure, there's different techniques you can try to get a practice going.
Yep.
Now, you do still take clients now, but you're booked in advance.
2 years ahead of time, and at this point, I have so many clients that I'm not able to take any new clients at this time, unfortunately. To
right.
the overwhelming, request for appointments from the current ones.
And now you've got the book that you're out there talking about, so you're really busy.
Yes. It's good.
So people have to be patient. Yeah, it's good. It's good to be busy. Mm-hmm. And people can check out your site. I wanted to throw the website out there. Is it KarenNoe.com? Is that still your site?
That's correct.
Very good. So we'll get people out there to check out the site. So I wanted to ask you, too, a couple other things. We've got a ton of calls here we're going to go to in the next segment and give you a chance to answer some questions. We have some great questions up here from people all over.
Okay.
So we will definitely do that. So hang in there, callers, and we're going to get you some copies of Karen's book as well. We'll give that out to some people. But when people ask you, or something I hear with a lot of the callers calling in about mediumship, and they really want to know, is my loved one okay? And people are concerned that it's a horrible experience. And some of the things that you discuss in the book allay those fears. So I just wanted you to share what you know about the afterlife. And
oh my gosh, yes. It's the most important thing to know that they are truly okay. Once we leave the body, we're one with God. It's the most incredible feeling. People who have had near-death experiences and come back and talk about it say they didn't want to come back here. You know, it's just truly, no matter what they've done, even though, as I said before, you're able to see the bigger perspective, you go through a life review, it's not that you're being judged, you judge yourself. So it's just an awareness that you have, oh, I did this and this and this, I should have done it differently. But they're all very much at peace.
So when you say that when they do the life review, they're not experiencing like hand-wringing horrible feelings of regret. They're merely aware of
awareness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to make that distinction for people so they're not worrying that someone is regretting.
Like that. And then people ask me all the time, what about someone who's horrible? You know, did so many.
Right. What about those people?
And all that, like a Hitler or something like that. Well, if they're able with this knowledge of knowing how much they have affected people in a negative way, they truly would want to, you know, if I don't know if you believe in reincarnation, but we come back to make amends and come back and back. And this person, these type of people will have a lot of amending to do. Do you know what I mean? It's all self-judgment. It's not that God says you're going to hell or things like that.
Right. No, that's interesting. So basically, they would have to keep coming back, and the people that don't have to make those amendments, we would just get to stay and hang out where it's nice.
Well, we choose whether or not we want to come back as in the past, in a new life. You know, it's actually our choice. We're not forced to. But, you know, a lot of times if you want to make the world a better place or, you know, to create peace in the world, you say, yeah, I want to come back. I want to do this. I want to do this and make it better, that type of thing.
So those people that they would receive that awareness upon their passing of whatever they needed to correct.
Yes, and then they would have to big time correct it, like be in a big position to help many, 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 many people, whereas they hurt so many people. You know, they have to put themselves in some situation that they would be able to change that to make amends.
Right. Okay,
yeah.
Well, that makes sense. That's interesting. So they wouldn't necessarily come back as a worm or...
No. As a person.
We might be hoping that, depending on the person, but that's not really the case.
No.
It's really interesting the way that you describe the healing, you know, that can take place with people that have already passed, and that we, you know, we can experience great peace here by doing that. And also, you say in the book, we can continue our correspondence.
That's with people. Right. The most important thing is to maintain the peace that you've created after you wrote the letters, after you've seen through their eyes, not to just write the letter and just leave it alone at that, you know. You have to continue to maintain the peace, continue to love and honor yourself, you know. And so it's very important to do that, because then it doesn't mean anything.
Right. So you want to keep that intention. I think that's important, too, to bring up, because it's really your intention that is pushing this out there. Right. That makes a lot of sense. And we hear about that here a lot with Dr. Dyer and, you know, also Louise Hay talking about intention. You know, the power of intention is really amazing.
Yeah.
So we will be taking some calls here. I've got some great people that want to chat with you. So I just want to stress to the callers, you're not going to necessarily do mediumship readings. This isn't that kind of show, but you're open to them asking you any questions of...
Sure,
you
about
know,
the letters,
yeah.
the peace, or the afterlife, sure.
Perfect. Well, wonderful. We'll get the people on here and... see how it goes. Very interesting stuff. I love it. So we're going to come back and chat more with Karen Noe about her book, Through the Eyes of Another, A Medium's Guide to Creating Heaven on Earth by Encountering Your Life Review Now. I'm Diane Ray. We'll be right back.
This is the I Can Do It Hour with your host, Diane Ray.
We are back with my guest today, Karen Noe, and she's a psychic medium and author from New Jersey. And her book is called Through the Eyes of Another, A Medium's Guide to Creating Heaven on Earth by Encountering Your Life Review Now. And Karen's book was released, re-released through Hay House, and she had originally self-published on Balboa Press. So we kind of, Hay House had retooled the book a little bit, added some great new material and stories, and we're happy to offer it to you out there. So I hope you guys get a chance to read it. And we will be giving away some copies of the book today, too, to some of our callers that are joining us on the show today. So Karen's going to be answering some questions that you might have about the afterlife or how you can maybe resolve some issues with your family, either here or on the other side. And maybe she'll be able to pick up something. You never know. Karen is amazing. So let's grab a couple of calls, Karen. What do you think?
Sure.
Okay, well, let's start off with Bridget on line one and bring her onto the show today. Hi, Bridget. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you, my call.
Hi, I'm having a little bit of a difficult time hearing you, but we'll do our best. Now, where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from Dublin.
Oh, Dublin, Ireland. Oh, that's amazing. I love it there. Well, thanks for joining us on the show, and go ahead with your question for Karen, I'm sorry.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm delighted to speak to you, Karen. My mother passed away 5 years ago, and it's funny, I thought I had unresolved issues, but the moment I was with her when she passed away, and the moment she passed away, so did all the unresolved issues. But I just feel as sad now, 5 years later, as I did then. But there's one thing you mentioned about seeing signs, and I just had to tell you this. I was taking my son to camp, and this hawk, I've never seen one in my life, flew over us and screamed in our faces. My son is 7, and he just opened his arms wide and smiled, and I was terrified and covered my face, and I just thought of that as you were telling your story.
Oh, yes. That's probably your mom telling you that she's around you, she's okay, and that she's sorry, you know, for the unresolved issues. And if you weren't paying attention, you know, maybe she's trying to come to you as thoughts or, you know, in dreams and you're not waking up. You cannot miss a hawk. It's a big bird, you know, letting you know that she was around you.
And Karen, would you suggest that Bridget try the life review process and maybe get some letters written?
I would ask you, you could write a letter to your mom and just try to see through her point of view now. Remember, this is a little bit different. You're not saying what she did or didn't do. You're trying to see how you have affected her, maybe. You know, see the bigger picture on why she did what she did. You know, was she going through a rough time in her life? Was she not able to show her feelings? And maybe why wasn't she able to show her feelings? Did somebody reject her, you know, made her feel that way? So do you have any feelings about that, why she was the way she was?
Actually, the examples you gave are very much the case. You know, there was rejection. She did suffer rejection, and she accidentally made me feel the same way.
Which is not good at all, and I'm not saying that it was right for what she did. As a matter of fact, I am not saying that she did the right thing. However, if you understand why she did it, not that it was right or wrong, but then you can kind of understand, okay, she's a person, not only your mom, and, you know, she did the best she could, hopefully, and she didn't know any better. She didn't want to be rejected, or she didn't, you know, she tried to protect herself, so by doing that, she didn't show her love, which is not right, again. But you know what I'm trying to say is just she did the best she could under the circumstances.
Right.
Yeah.
And Bridget, we're going to get you a copy of Karen's book. It might take a while to ship it to you over in Dublin, Ireland, but we will get one out to you there. And I thank you so much for calling today.
Thank you very much. Take care.
You, Bridget.
You too. I love that. All the way from Dublin.
Oh, I know.
So let's go from Dublin and go to actually in your neck of the woods in New Jersey. And this is Denise on line 4. And Denise, thanks for holding. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Sure. You're on with Karen.
Hi, Karen. Thank you.
Hi, Denise. How are you?
I'm thrilled. Actually, I've been trying to get an appointment with you for
a while.
I know that you've been booked
up
for a very long time. You're not taking any new clients. But I had lost my father. It'll be 3 years this August, and then I lost my father-in-law just recently, this past October.
Yes.
And I've been getting a lot of, signs from them, and I think they're trying to get some messages to me because, like, after my father had passed, I used to, like, write a journal because he would I'd wake up in the middle of the night and thoughts would be flooding into my head about him, that he felt like I had unresolved issues and I had to write it down on paper.
Yes. You were going through the life review is what you were doing, probably. He was trying to talk to you.
Yeah.
And it comes as thoughts, and you had to write it down. That's very good.
And I couldn't go back to sleep until I actually wrote these things down, because I'd be sleeping, and then I'd wake up, and I'd have to write these things down.
And did it help you at all?
It did. And then he would give me signs like lights would blow out in our house.
Oh, there you go.
frames would fall down. And all these things kind of subsided now with him. But now it's happening again with my father-in-law.
And that's very normal. When somebody first crosses, they're very anxious to let you know they're around you. So they often do things such as playing with electricity, that type of thing. But after they are gone a while, they acclimate to the other side. And they're more, they're more with the other side than here, although they still could come through. And that's why your father-in-law now is, giving you the signs, because he's probably trying to let you know he's okay. So what kind of signs are you getting?
Just recently, in the past 2 months, it's been a lot of electronical signs, like things that go along with the car, my phone, my computer. It's all like electronical stuff that just very odd things. Even like the mechanic with the car said, this is very odd, there's things that were going on. So
it stood out that you're able to say something's going on here. Usually these signs are unusual. They don't normally happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm just wondering if there's something that is unresolved that he's trying to get a point to me.
I think it just sounds like he's just trying to let you know he's around you and he's okay. And just get that message out there to you, and let you know, there really is an afterlife, and I'm able to let you know that type of thing. Pay attention to me. It sounds like he's trying to get your attention. Not that there's anything significant to be resolved, but just to let you know he's okay. How great would it be? Like, we're in a good place, and we want our loved ones to know we're in a good place. That's what it sounds like.
Very good. So, Denise, hang on. We're going to get you a copy of Karen's book. Maybe you could put your name on the list and
hopefully. She's on the list. Have you been put on the waiting list?
On the waiting list? Do you have a waiting list?
I have a cancellation list now. And,
okay.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
That would be great if I could put my name on that list.
Okay. You have my email?
I do.
Okay.
And thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Very good. Well, maybe she can slip on in there if there's a cancellation.
Yeah.
And I wanted to take this other question because it dovetails to what Denise was asking. So let's go to Beth in Denver, Colorado, and she's on line 8 and had a question about a sign. And Beth, are you there?
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, sure.
Beth. You sound like one of my favorite actresses that's gone, Madeline Kahn.
Oh, my.
Oh, yes. I remember her. Young Frankenstein. She was great.
What a compliment. She had a sexy voice.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So I was wondering, it seems to me, I think you kind of answered the question, but okay. I was wondering, like, my dad passed when I was 18, but my mom passed, recently. Yeah. And it seems that when they pass more in the present time, that the ones that have passed away from a long time ago really don't make a presence to you. And I was wondering why that was.
What happens is they're very much wanting to, if they just passed, they really want you to know they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still here. I'm still here for you. Life really does continue after the physical body dies, and they're very anxious. So that's probably why. If someone's gone a longer amount of time, it doesn't mean they cannot come through or they're not trying to,
mm-hmm.
because they still do, but not as often. It's just that they acclimate to the other side. They're more, without the body.
So right.
They're actually, after we die, we're actually learning, we're evolving, we're
mm-hmm.
helping people on the other side, helping people to cross, that type of thing.
Well, I was actually very lucky because my mother passed after a long battle with breast cancer, and she was the type of person on her deathbed who was like, you're so beautiful, you're so brave, don't regret anything. I was really, really lucky. And the day she died, before she died, came to me in a dream, hugged me goodbye, said she didn't need her purse anymore. And I realized after when I woke up, she was taking her morphine bag off and saying, I don't need this anymore,
yes.
And said goodbye to me. And it was the most beautiful experience of my life. I don't have a doubt that there's life after death.
That's so beautiful. She was probably, now you said this was before she crossed?
And I woke up and I said, I know my mother's going to die today.
There you go.
And she died that night. Yeah.
She was probably out of her body at the time, and she was able to let you know this. And so it is. It's a wonderful experience, isn't it?
Oh, it's the best thing that ever happened to me as far as spirituality goes.
So
I don't have a doubt in my mind.
Right.
But thank you so much for taking my call.
That's so great. And that is such a beautiful experience, Beth, that you're able to, you know, to have that happen. A lot of people don't get that gift, you know, if you get there too late or, you know, something happens. So I'm glad you're able to have that experience. And we're going to get you a copy of Karen's book, okay?
Yay. Thank you.
That's awesome. Thanks for calling. So hold on. We'll get that out to you. And let's grab a few more people. We've got about 13 minutes, and there's some really great questions here for
That's
you.
Good.
So let's go to, how about Ginger on line 6? And she's calling from Phoenix, Arizona. This is a good question. And Ginger, thanks for holding. You're on with Karen today.
Hi Ginger.
Karen. Go ahead with your question, Ginger.
My question, my husband passed away. It's been almost 5 years. And my 4 children, which would be his stepchildren, when he first passed, there were a lot of things that we knew he was around, and not so much anymore. But I noticed when my kids all get together, all 4 of them are together, they talk about him a lot and the different experiences they have, like, every day with him being there.
Wow.
And even my youngest one, which he was only 8 when my husband passed away, he talks about him, just like all the things that happen, where it's like, well, he remembers stuff like that.
That's wonderful.
So it's really neat. And I haven't had a whole lot of the experiences and stuff, but to listen to the children talk about it and stuff like that has been reassuring for me.
Well, so you know what you need to do is say, hey, I need a big without a doubt sign so that you know without a doubt that he's still with you. And sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you say, come on, I don't know. You're not bothering them. They want you to know they're okay. So he wants you to know he's okay. So say,
okay.
I need something, and I need to know it's, you know, a big one. But not that. It might be a sign. Something big, like a big hawk or something. I don't know if you're afraid of hawks, but you could get a license plate. Maybe a car will cut you off with the license plate of his birthday. Something.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So just be a little bit more aware of those signs.
I will definitely do that.
I have a great story to share with you, too. I always like the stories about my mom. So the reason why I'm sharing is to let you know, my mom was quiet and didn't give me signs. So when I started asking, boy, did I get it. That's why you should, you know, do the same thing. But my mom passed, and it's a very long story. I'll make it so quick. But she died a week before Christmas, and she said she was so upset that she wasn't able to give everybody Christmas presents. So she asked, there were 7 people in the room, and she asked me, can you give me $7? And I said, sure. I gave her $7 bills, and she gave one to each person. She said, one for you, one for you, one for you, one for you. And she just went around, you know, to everyone. And she looked at me in my eyes, and she said, Karen, I'm going to pay you back. I said, Ma, you don't have to pay me back, right? Make a long story short, 2 weeks later, she passed. And I was in my office, and I saw a dollar bill. So I picked it up. I didn't know where it came from, and I just said, well, somebody lost their money. I went into the other room. There's a dollar bill. Picked it up. Didn't know what was going on. Went into my car, and there was a dollar bill. And I heard my mom, and when I say I heard her, it was a thought that popped in my head, as I'm telling you, kind of, you know, messages, you'll get them as thoughts, that said, hi, sweetheart, I told you I'd pay you back. So I started getting the dollar bills. So what you need to do is say you need a sign. You need to know that he's around. And then I want to hear from you. I would love to hear when you do get it, because it's not if, you will get a sign.
That's amazing. And you got your $7?
I have, I think it's five now. I even had one of my friends did a shadow box of my mom, and she said, I don't know why, but I had to put a dollar in there.
That's great.
So,
wow.
Yeah, it's really cool.
What a great one.
Yeah.
Well, Ginger, hold on. We'll get you a copy of Karen's book as well for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
And thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you, Ginger.
Thanks.
And let's go to Mary, and she's been very patient on line three, so I want to get her in here to ask her question.
Sure.
And Mary, thanks for holding on today.
Hi, thank you.
Sure. Well, go ahead. You're on with Karen Noe.
Well, I guess my question is with mediumship and how to do it better. And, you know, sometimes I feel like I get messages from deceased ones easily, but most of the time it feels like I'm reaching, but I can't quite receive message.
That's very normal, because what happens is you can't make somebody come through. If they're there, they're there. You can't conjure somebody up, you know. So the reason why you're getting messages sometimes is because the person is there and you're getting the messages. In other words, don't try to make it happen. Just allow it to happen, and it will. And to trust that you can do it, because if you are doing it on those occasions, you know how to do it. So a lot of, you know, people think that you could just make somebody pop into the room and give you a message, and that's not the case at all. It doesn't happen often with me, but when it does, I just say, you know, if nobody comes through, I say, I'm sorry, there's no one here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably what's happening with you.
Okay.
Trust yourself. Know you can do it. So when you do get messages, what type of message do you get? What they're saying, a feeling about it? Do you hear an audible voice? In what way are you getting the message?
I'd say it's more of a thought.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah.
That's the most important way that they do come to us, as thoughts that just pop into our heads. Most people don't realize that, and
mm-hmm.
they ignore them. As a matter of fact, it's actually easier for a medium to give a message to someone they don't know, because when these thoughts pop in their head for no reason, they know it's not their thought. You know, but when it's your loved one, you're thinking about them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking about your mom, your dad, your, you know, whoever it is, and you're saying, well, is this me or is it them, you know?
Right.
So just know you can do it. You're doing a great job.
Okay. Thank
Perfect.
You.
And also the book will help you to develop some of
yes.
these abilities
yes.
and give you some really good tips. So
yes,
we're going to get
a
you a copy.
Yeah, there's a whole chapter
great.
On how to do this. So
okay.
Well,
okay.
hang on, Mary, and thanks for
thank
calling.
You.
And let me grab another Mary, and this Mary is in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay.
And she's been very patient hanging on line two.
Okay.
And thanks for holding, Mary.
Oh, hi, Mary.
Thanks for having me today. I'm feeling so blessed already.
Well, it's an interesting topic. I love to talk about this.
Yeah, this is an interesting years that I've gone through.
Yeah. So go ahead with your question. You said you've been in some turmoil, and you were looking for messages to kind of help get back on track.
I have. I've lost my parents, 17 and 20 years ago, and way too young to be an orphan. And just really struggling for losing a home, a job, my health. I've been living with my brother now because he's almost in the same boat, and now I had to place him in a hospital yesterday for depression. And I just keep thinking there's got to be something that we're not doing or we're supposed to be learning or some kind of help out there for us right now.
Well, I'm so sorry you're going through all of this. That's the first thing I want to say. And realize that, you know, your loved ones, your parents are okay. But the most important thing to do is exactly what Louise Hay would say is, you know, think. You're probably going to say, how do you think positive thoughts when you're going through something like this? It's very difficult.
Well,
but the important
thing was a positive thing. And my mom's name was Nadine. When you said that, I went, oh, wow.
Oh, so, you know, the most important thing is to think about what you want instead of what you don't want. Instead of focusing on what's going wrong, focus on the blessings. You know, again, I'm saying it's not easy when you're going through this, but it's very important to do this and to stress the good things. You know, what I tell people when they come to see me, I use the yes, but. You could say, this is going on, but I am so blessed with my children, or I am so blessed with, and just keep talking about it. Yes, but. I love this. Yes, but this is happening. when I was going through a rough time in my life, I love little babies laughing. Don't ask me why. It just makes me laugh. So what I would do is I'd go on YouTube, and there's this little baby that whenever the father says, floom, he just does belly laugh. It was like taking my medicine. I would go to that YouTube thing, and I would start laughing, and my energy would increase. And that would help you a lot, just to focus on something funny, something positive that you love to do, or something that gets your spirits up a little bit. And then you'll see it'll be like the snowball effect, and more positive things will come into your life as well.
That's great advice. And also maybe she could do a review.
Yeah.
We're going to get you a copy of the book, Mary, and you can do some of these exercises here that'll kind of help you refocus on what's going right.
Yeah,
rather than what's going wrong.
That's a good thing what you just said. If you could write a letter to yourself, because that's one of the most important letters there are. I wrote a letter to myself and saying why you love yourself, why you're proud of you. And, you know, this was the hardest letter I wrote. You know, so often I put everybody else first, you know, and here it is. I'm trying to put myself and say why I'm proud of myself. And I actually said things that I would do differently. Better, you know, to encourage me to do better things and all that. So if you could write yourself a letter, and I talk about it in the book, how to do that.
Right.
So I would recommend you to do that.
That would be really helpful for you.
Any message, though, for them that I can just, even for my brother today?
I don't feel them right now. As I said before, they've been gone a long time, and when they're gone a long time, it's a little bit harder to connect, but not impossible. But you could rest assured that you're not alone, and they're with you. And trying to help you look for those signs, look for those feelings of what to do. If it feels good, it's probably them trying to let you know.
Right.
If it feels bad, it's not them.
Well, let's get you a copy of the book, Mary, and thanks so much for joining the show today.
Oh, thank you both. I really
You're very welcome.
Sure, we'll get that out to you. So we've got about 2 minutes. Maybe we could grab this last one very quickly.
Sure.
Nan in Houston, Texas, and she's on line 5.
Okay. Hi,
and
Nan.
We just have limited time, Nan, so go ahead.
Okay.
Hi there. I'll make this real quick, ladies. I have been having some restless sleep, feel like my guides are trying to come in and talk to me about a current problematic love relationship, or maybe they're trying to tell me about my oldest cat who is very sick. I'm not sure what messages I'm getting, but I guess if you can give me an insight on either of those, that would be lovely. Thank you.
Oh, sure. It feels like the what's getting you up, it feels like it's the relationship.
Okay.
Trust your guidance. The most important thing, and you would be very surprised, is if you feel something is wrong, it usually is. So that's, you know, your higher self trying to tell you that something's going on there and to look at it from a...
Real quick, it's very chaotic. Break up, get back together, break up, get back together. Mm. It's never stable and calm, accessible.
It shouldn't be that difficult. A relationship, you know. If that's all, I would never tell somebody to break up with someone, you know, permanently. But I would always say, go within yourself. Does it seem right? Does it seem right, the relationship? What do you think?
Okay.
And then if it doesn't, you know, then you could do something about it. If you want to stay in a relationship such as this, I also would say, okay, you can't change the other person, but you can change how you perceive the other person and how you react. So there are two things to do.
Well, we're going to get you a copy of Karen's book as well for calling in. And maybe if you go through some of these exercises, it could help you get a little clarification on what you want to do, what decisions that you want to make in relation to that. So hang on, Nan, and thanks for calling. And Karen, it's been so great to talk with you. Unfortunately, we're out of time. And I wish we could have gotten to all our callers. We had some really good questions. So I urge everybody to pick up the book. Through the Eyes of Another, you can get it at Hay House, Amazon, your local bookstore. And also check out Karen's website. It's Karen Noe, KarenNoe.com. And you've got a lot of things coming up, your online seminar as well. And do you know the date real quick?
It's July 17th at 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Because I had forgotten the date. July 17th, you can check out Karen's live online event right here at Hay House. And thank you, everybody, for listening. You guys are the best.
Thank you.